Speak Sport, the podcast for women fluent in sport. It's going to be such a good time that we're going to be having here today. I'm super, super excited to be joined by the incredible Roberta Moretti Avery. And Roberta, before I introduce you to everybody, I mean, there's a lot of people here that are listening to us that actually know who you are already. But before I introduce you, hello, so cool to be connecting with you all the way from Brazil and South Africa, Southern Hemisphere peeps, you and me in the house today. So super cool. How are you doing today? And then so good to see you and just to connect with you.
Hello, Lauren. It's so good to see you too. Here all the way from the southern area of the world, where the sun is still shining, all the winter is coming. Very good day here and very good to be with you.
Now, tell me a little bit about how winter happens there in Brazil, because obviously here it's getting like super cold now. So it's probably like 15 degrees, which is kind of cold. I mean, that's cold for Cape Town. So what's it doing there? Is it the same?
Well, last week was very difficult. I live in the countryside. So we had like 0 degrees, 1 degree in the mornings, frost. But during the day, it feels good. It is like 15, 17 degrees. So it's nice and beautiful during the day, but it can be quite cold in the early mornings.
Okay, so it's very similar to how it is here. It's so cool. I'm always interested because we haven't got into sport, but my uncle's married to a Brazilian woman from Sao Paulo. And she's always like, we got to go to Brazil together, but I've not yet taken that trip. So hopefully, and I'm always like, hey, you know, how's the weather? Like, what's it doing? And we always feel so connected because we are in the Southern Hemisphere, which is really, really cool. So I want to be able to give the listeners, whomever is listening and going, who is this incredible Roberta from Brazil? I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight. Of course, we have some cricket fans that are joining, listening, tuning in and going, we know her, we love her. But for those who don't know, I want to tell you a little bit about my star guest, Roberta. So she's been playing cricket for 10 years now, represented Brazil for 9 years, and she used to be a competitive golf player, which is really cool. And she represented Brazil for a couple of years, was a handball player as a teenager, which is also super cool. And as she says, she's a little bit older than the majority of the team. So her work is largely into creating an empowering environment for girls that play and are starting to play the game in Brazil, which we're going to touch on in our conversation today. You're also part of Fair Break, which is super cool. We're also going to touch on that. And she played in 2022 and 2023 for the Barmy Army alongside our very own Laura Volfant. And when the T20 World Cup was happening, I also had the chance to meet and connect with Lauren Winfield Hill, who was, I think, your captain, right, of Barmy Army during the Fair Break.
Yeah,
now.
Yes, she was.
And she is she's so cool as well. Love her. And of course, Roberta started social media to inspire and get inspired with her cricket family during the quarantine and never looked back, which is amazing, that blessing that comes out of the hard times. And obviously, she also speaks openly about mental health awareness for athletes and especially women. And that's something we're going to be touching on as well today, because I don't think we talk about mental health enough, especially when it comes to athletes and especially female athletes, the huge amounts of pressure and the realities that happen. And so, Roberta, with that, I want to ask you about representing Brazil as a cricket player. Now, when people think of Brazil, they probably don't think of cricket, right? You think of like, oh, Australia or India or South Africa, maybe, or England or whatever. Tell us a bit about how cricket is in Brazil and, you know, the development and everything that's happening. And particularly, you know, just cricket over just, you know, men's and women's games, but also how it is to be a female cricket player in Brazil. What's happening? What is the country doing? Are they developing cricket in Brazil?
So, yeah, that's a very good question. Cricket in Brazil started in the 1800s. So it has been happening for a long time. But most foreigners that are living in Brazil to work and playing cricket. Around the 2000s, they started a project for Brazilians. And in 2010, they started a small project in my hometown for Brazilian kids to play. It was one project with 26 kids. And they always focus on underprivileged kids that didn't have opportunity of sports, because they wanted to introduce cricket as a way of changing lives and of introducing good values to kids that did not have opportunity of playing many sports. And that was something that was really very well received. Currently, we have around 70 to 80 schools with 5,500 kids playing cricket every week. We have a contracted women's team, under 17, under 19, under 21 boys teams, local league, local softball leagues, almost 40 contracted coaches, a university program that pays for kids to go to university to become coaches in Brazil, all kids from the project that are the first kids that are going to university in their families. So we are bringing the kids from the project, teaching them how to be coaches, making them role models in the community, getting them to love cricket. And the thing is, cricket is an easy sport to love. You know that. I know that. Australians know that. But when we show them to the Brazilian kids, they just love it. They love the environment. And for me, the coolest part of it all, because we didn't have cricket before for Brazilians, when we introduced cricket, it boys and girls could play. So boys and girls loved it. So now we actually have a little bit more girls playing than boys in the project. So it's pretty much 50-50, but maybe 52 girls, 48 boys. And into the high performance, we have much more girls, many more girls than actually we have boys. Yeah. So it's interesting because cricket is almost a girls' sport here.
That's so cool.
We even started a project here called Cricket Like a Girl, because the girls, the women's teams are inspiring the youth. Cricket like a woman here. So it's pretty cool, the scenario that is in Brazil right now.
That is so cool. I love that, because what I was thinking when you started off talking as well and sharing this with us is that oftentimes in countries like South Africa, for example, you've had such a strong focus on male cricket and how good the men are. I mean, we know how good the men are in South Africa, and they've always been for like decades. I grew up watching cricket because my mom was this massive cricket fan. Okay, so it was like, but never saw girls playing cricket. You know, it was like the guys playing cricket, because I mean, my mom was like, I mean, this was like long ago. Because there was, I don't know if there even was a women's team, you know, like in the 90s here, but maybe there was, but it just wasn't seen or didn't have those opportunities. And the reality is that you kind of starting off in Brazil as having like such a game that is actually beautiful and is so much about women as well. And I think that that is so powerful, because immediately when people come into cricket in Brazil, it's like, this is what we see. We don't have to unlearn anything like in South Africa. It's like, oh, we all go to the stadiums and support men's cricket, right? Now South Africans are only getting used to going to stadiums to support women's cricket. And obviously the World Cup had a lot to play with that. And that was obviously only this year. So that mindset still has to change. Whereas in Brazil, you have people coming into the game and going like, hey, this is actually a female sport. Like, we respect our female cricket players. Like, they are incredible. And I think that's beautiful, because there's nothing you have to really unlearn or go, oh, maybe we should go watch a female cricket game. It's like, we are going to watch those games, right? And how beautiful is that? That must have been quite amazing for you as well, playing for Brazil, representing your country for so many years. What was that experience like for you? It must have been quite amazing.
Well, when I started playing cricket, I didn't know that I could get to the Brazilian team. I didn't know the girls were playing for the Brazilian team. But once I played them with the first time, I was like, I want that. I want to be part of those playing 11. I want to be able to wear the Brazilian badge. Mm. And for me, that's something that I'm so passionate about. I have the national anthem tattooed in my body. Parts of it. when we sing it, I always cry. For me, playing for Brazil, it is an honor. Mm. It is something that I really take on my sleeves all the time. But most of all, for me, is to play cricket, to play for Brazil with the girls that we are playing with. Mm. I love the team and I love their background. These girls are coming from very poor communities. Very difficult conditions, that are being empowered and learning how big they can be, how high they can grow. I lived in a bubble in cricket for maybe 4 or 5 years, because I didn't know about that the cricket was not a girls' sport. until I actually traveled outside Brazil to play. And I, when I traveled, I went to Australia for internship. Then I went to US. And when I went to those places, I was like, oh my God. So it's not 50-50.
Yeah.
It's not how it happens. Women are fighting for their spots this much because we don't have cricket broadcast in Brazil. It didn't. Now we have a little bit. Mm-hmm. We didn't have role models of cricket. We didn't have access to games. So it was only in 2017 that I actually traveled and I found out this other side of the current side of cricket, that finally now women are getting much more space. And South Africa World Cup was beautiful. That final was beautiful. And I feel so happy for you that you were there to witness that, and the country deserves it.
It was a beautiful moment. And I was obviously there. Well, okay, I say obviously, but there was probably a lot of people that weren't there. But it was such a beautiful moment, Roberta. And I love that you mentioned that as well. And I've spoken about this so much because the stadiums were like sold out, you know. And so obviously record attendance for women's cricket was broken during the World Cup, which is a good thing because that means that for the future, we're hoping that we can continue that momentum. But it was so beautiful because I don't know if anybody thought South Africa would be in the final. There was like a glimmer of hope, but it was like, who's going to beat Australia and who's going to do this? And it was just such a beautiful moment. And people were there to support it, like thousands of people were there. And it was a beautiful moment. And I think that that's what's changed the game a bit and changed that kind of mindset of people here. But it's so interesting to me. I love what you're talking about when you say that, you know, obviously only when you travel outside of the country, was that like women have to fight for their place here and their position. And it's crazy. And talking about traveling outside of the country, I want to touch on Fair Break because it is such a powerful movement. And I always call it a movement because it is using, you know, cricket and the empowerment that happens through it. How has your experience been with Fair Break? That's probably such a huge question. And I just want to say that there was a moment that I was watching it from South Africa because thankfully our television was showing Fairbreak for the first time. So we got to watch all the games and it was so incredible. And there was a moment where it was a beautiful moment where Laura Wolfart, our very own, you know, caught the ball, but it was bowled from one of your Brazilian players. And the emotions and everything. It was such a moment. And obviously you ran out on the field. Tell us also a bit about that moment because it was just incredible. It meant so much to so many people. You could see it. So tell us a bit about that moment and just how you felt about Fair Break.
Oh my God. Well, Fair Break for me is a dream come true because I always loved representing my country. And there was a moment that I said, is that it? Like I was a 35, 36 year old athlete, like representing my country is going to be the highest I'm going to achieve. I know most likely I'm not going to play the 100. Most likely I'm not going to play the other leagues because the gap is too big. Mm. When Fair Break came along, I was like, there is an opportunity of actually taking Brazil further. And I was very happy to be invited by Sean Martin to be part of the Barmy Army team. And I was able to play with the first year with Heather Knight, which is, I'm a big fan, Laura Wolfie, which for me was like, oh my God, I'm going to see that cover drive in front of me. Actually batted with her the first year. And the way she shares her mind and she teaches us all the time. So I always say the Fair Break is a wave of inspiration because we went over there to play with our heroes, with our, we were starstruck all the time. But also when we came back home, we were the role models for the kids that stayed and the kids that are starting. So it is the Fair Break effect. You have this wave of inspiration going all the way. And Laura was also called for first Fair Break, Laura Cardoso, the Brazilian player. And she's a bowler. She took 5 wickets in 5 balls to win for us to win a game in the ICC World Cup qualifiers. She's a very talented bowler. And the first year, they didn't have an opportunity for her to bowl. So she worked so hard all the year, 12 months, working hard on her batting, her fielding, and her bowling mainly. So when she was bowling against Danny White on that game, I was shouting for the dugout because she lost a little bit of control over her balls. I was talking to her as a captain of Brazil.
Yeah.
Talking to her. And when Wolfie took that catch, I lost it. I completely lost it. I had to carry the water to the players because it was a wicket. I got the water, I ran, and I threw the water in the middle of the ground. And when I saw Laura Cardoso, I was crying. She was crying. We hugged. I'm almost crying now.
Yeah.
Because I know how much she worked for it.
Mm.
And she's a kid that started 12 years old in a school project, playing tennis balls, went to the softball tournament, softball league, ladies league. She did the whole Brazilian pathway. So she is a proof that anyone that is starting to play cricket now, if given the opportunity, can reach very high levels. So for me, that moment is the best. And I was super proud. Mm-hmm. And she's a star, and that's what fair break can give. I don't think anyone can talk about that moment without a big smile on their faces because it was.
It was absolutely amazing, but you could also feel all of those emotions. You could feel all of those emotions through even watching it, you know, even through watching it on the TV, because obviously I was watching like all the games on the TV or caught up with the highlights because the time difference was so crazy. And it was like, you could just feel, but again, what's important is what you're sharing with us today as well. There's a story behind that moment. Like you said, everything that she has been through as well, starting as a 12-year-old kid and going through everything that you need to go through, but also how hard she was working and practicing and, you know, focusing on bowling before even going to Fair Break, you know, this year. And Fair Break is happening again this year, Roberta. You know, do you have any idea if you're going to be joining again? Or is that something that you'll only find out of it later in the year? Because it's in the States and in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. So that's not too far away from where you live, actually.
Yes, Fair Break is coming to America. And I think that's going to be super, super exciting. Mm-hmm. Brazil, the Brazilian team is going to be playing in America a couple of weeks before Fair Break. So I do hope to be joining them. Fingers crossed. Fair Break is definitely my favorite tournament, and wow. I love the Barmy Army. I'm a full Barmy Army player. I love the team. I love the spirit. So yeah, that's. I hope to be there again this year.
It's so cool. I got to speak with Sean Martin a few weeks ago on the podcast. So if anyone hasn't listened to that, go on over and listen to what Fair Break is all about. And one of the things he said was, you know, once you've played at Fair Break, you're always a Fair Breaker. You know, once you've been part of the Barmy Army, even if you don't play again in the same year, you'll come back next year. You'll always be part of the Barmy Army. And it's just that connection, that team, and that forming together. I love that. It's so incredible. We're going to take a really, really quick and very short break, but we don't want you to go anywhere because Roberta and I are going to continue talking about cricket. And also we're going to be touching on mental health awareness, which is very important for athletes. So stay tuned. Roberta, you know, you and I are busy chilling out here, and I love this cup that you're drinking from. What is it? It's early morning there for you this morning. And, you know, what I wanted to really touch on is something we don't talk a lot about. You know, sometimes we hear it in specific circles or specific places, or there's specific conferences that people host just to talk about mental health awareness, and especially among athletes. But it's something that people don't talk a lot about. As an athlete, you have a very high pressured position, actually, especially when you're representing your country, especially when you're in that position. And I think that in general, everyday life, like a normal person, I don't want to say a normal person, but a non-athlete person, you go to work or you do what you do every day, and you're not going into the office in order to win something. There's not a pressure on you to maybe come away with a win at the end. You know, if we're all watching the IPL at the moment, it's like every single game there's that pressure on you, you know, and then when you make a mistake, it's scrutinized, or you're kind of placed in the dugout because, you know, you were very expensive that last game, so we're not going to put you there. And there's always ups and downs, and there's a lot of pressure and there's scrutiny, and you have coaches, sometimes good ones, bad ones, you know, in between ones. there's a lot of pressure on you. And when you're performing for your country, sometimes it doesn't go as you want it to go either. So tell us a bit about mental health awareness, and especially for athletes. And maybe we can even narrow it down and say female athletes, the pressure that you have to face. How do you deal with that? And why is it so important that we actually talk about this? Because just to create the awareness, but also empower athletes to know how to look after themselves.
Yeah, that definitely became one of my favorite subjects in the last 12 months. I don't think I was that aware of mental health until I actually went through a very bad phase on my career, on everything, on my thoughts, and I actually had to go through it. And last year, it was not an easy year for me. I had to deal with a lot of things, sometimes cricket related, sometimes not cricket related, but we are one person. So it's very difficult to make that separation. And I started thinking, if I'm going through this right now, there's a huge chance that a lot of these girls in different levels are going through the same, and or are going to go through the same. And it's important for us to know that, first, we are not alone. Second, you can reach for help. And third, what can you do to make you get out of that moment or learn how to deal with that moment and make that easier? We talk about muscle recovery, we talk about how to improve your technique, we talk about everything that's skill related. Why are we not talking about the thing that is with us all the time? So we started talking a lot more about mental health here. We actually have a mental coach in Brazil since when we got contracted. He helps us with dealing with the nervousness, with anxiety, with confidence, how to become better when you're performing. And he helped me out a lot into how to deal when we are not in the cricket pitch, how to feel outside, and how to find the areas that you can go to recover your mind, to recover yourself from all the pressure and scrutiny that you have to go through when you are playing under pressure all the time. I guess it's very common now with women athletes because of the scenario we are changing. We used to play very amateur, half-time, part-time thing, and now it's a full-time job. So we're changing our lives from very different levels. And to get used to that quickly as the world is demanding can be very challenging in your mindset. So I love talking about mental health. We talk a lot about that here in Brazil, and we talk about that for women athletes much more, because we are taught that we have to be able to handle everything with a smile on our faces, politely, and not say anything. You're not supposed to have big emotions. You're not supposed to have a lot of stuff. Actually, you're just a human person. You're going to have all those big emotions. You're going to have to say no sometimes. Not sometimes, a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that is all right. That is okay for you to not be okay that day. So that is helping me a lot in the past 6 months. I'm starting to feel myself again. I'm starting to smile like I used to before. I love cricket, because there was a time that I even didn't know if I actually liked cricket. So now I can see that the smile is back. But I want to make sure that every girl that is starting right now knows it's okay to not to be okay. And if you're not okay one day, your smile can come back as long as you take care of yourself.
That's actually very beautiful. And I love that you shared that as well, because it's okay to not be okay. And oftentimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And there's this narrative in the world of like, women are very emotional. And so sometimes, because we hear that quite often, and I've heard it among women and among men, that go, oh, women are so emotional, you know, that almost women don't feel like they can cry. There's no space for them to shed those tears anymore when they need to, because it's like, oh, look, there she goes again. You know, she's just being emotional. But we're all human beings, and it's healthy to cry, and it's good. And we need to be okay with not being okay. And it's almost like you're under that scrutiny. But also, there's a lot of pressure when you stand in front of a crowd, isn't there? You know, like if you're playing cricket and there's like thousands of people in the stadium, I'm sure stepping out onto that field for the first time or even the second time at the beginning of your career, that must have been quite daunting. It's like you got all these people there. They're all watching you. You are really a performer. you know, it's the game that you love as well, but people are watching to see what you're doing. So it almost feels like a big, big stage, and they call it a stage, but it really is a stage, even though you're just playing the game that you love, and it's something that's coming from your heart and from a deeper place. But that must take a lot of getting used to as well.
It does. But if you are in a good space, if you are okay with your emotions, that is almost like, I see it as almost a celebration. I try to put things in a positive perspective. When you are over there, if you are feeling pressures because you're able to handle it, you're giving the opportunity of enjoying it. So we put pressure in on a happy smile area. Of course, if you also prep for it, you also make sure that you are ready for it, but pressure is positive. For me, the emotion part for me is one of the big things that we work. We have in Brazil, we are such a women-oriented sport, but still in our in the coaching group, it's 9 men. We still have to make a lot of education because we know that our emotions are part of who we are, but we are dealing with 9 men on the coaching group. So we also have to teach them like, oh, okay, you know what? This is going to be normal. I'm not going to be that person that is going to look at you and say, okay, sometimes I'm going to look at you. I'm going to talk a lot more to you. I'm going to listen a lot more to you. And I'm going to share a lot more emotions because that's who I am. And for you to take the best out of your team, you're going to have to learn how to deal with that as well. Because you cannot want me to be hitting my badge and doing my 150% if I'm not with emotions, because that person over there that is giving 150% is there because it has a lot of love, a lot of fight, a lot of fierceness because of who I am. So you cannot get just parts of me. You have to get me as a whole. So there's a lot of education that coming from the players to the coaching team as well on that. And I think that's beautiful because we're building something together, and that's going to help out a lot in the short and long-term future.
That is beautiful. I love that. And I think it's almost a life lesson that you've inspired us with, you know, not only in cricket or in playing on a field or in a stadium or a race, but it's something that we can take on board, you know, for life as well, is that as women, we need to be fully ourselves, and people need to receive us as such and accept us as that, and not expect us to be anything less, you know, like less emotional, don't cry or don't show big emotions or don't, you know, we need to be fully who we really are. And I love what you said. It's like, you can't just accept a part of me. You have to accept all of me. This is who I am. And I love that. And I think that that's something I want to take on board. And I want everybody listening to us to take on board beyond just the cricket field or beyond playing a sport, something that we need to show up in. And it's so beautiful. And I'm so grateful you shared that with us today. I also wanted to know from you, you know, as it's 2023, well, you know, what kind of achievements and dreams and goals do you feel now? Like you said, you've been on a journey, your smile has returned. I'm sure that you're starting to feel new dreams, new goals, new thoughts coming into your heart and mind. What kind of things do you feel like you would still love to do over the next few years that feels important to you personally?
It's such a good question. Well, I think that the first thing I want to make sure that while I'm playing cricket, I'm playing happy cricket. That I'm able to show everyone. I talk a lot about showing people who are starting, because I do believe the legacy in countries that are developing is a big part of our jobs. But I want to make sure that whoever is starting knows and believes that they are able to achieve more. Do not get stuck in what society tells you. Get stuck in what your dreams are and fight for them. So for me, that's a big part of my job, to make sure that girls know the pathway and their girls have a platform they can believe in themselves. I want to do that as a player for as long as I can. Maybe not as long as I can, but maybe for another 2-3 years. But then I want to keep working on this on a bigger platform. Today I talk about cricket. But I want to talk about cricket, not only in my region. I want to talk about cricket for the whole of the country. I want to talk about cricket in the Americas. And I want to make sure that people are looking at women's cricket, not only as a copy and paste from men's cricket, but what is more adequate for us. So it's, I think that's where a lot of countries mess up a little bit. And I want to make sure that that information is going forward. My dreams are always evolving around cricket and women's sports, but that's my biggest passion. And I think there's a passion that came later in life, but it's definitely something that I don't think I will be able to be apart for too long.
That is so, so cool. And really, it's probably, we always talk about having a purpose in life, you know, and having that destiny that's just for you as a unique individual. And I think that this is so your passion, because it's so your calling as well in this entire world. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to wish you all the best for everything that you're going to be doing. And just in not only this year, but in the years to come, and not only in Brazil, maybe we'll see you in South Africa eventually. You never know.
Fingers crossed.
You never know. And just doing the things that you love. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, you know, for not only being here today, but for showing up and for teaching us, for inspiring us. I feel so inspired to just learn about cricket in Brazil today, and how, you know, women are and girls are so involved. It's so inspiring. And then also, you know, what you have given us the permission for today, and that is to be seen as we truly are, and to just fully be ourselves, and that it's also okay to not be okay. And it's good to say no, because we sometimes struggle with that, setting those boundaries, even when people get upset with you for saying no. It's like, you have to set those boundaries. So Roberta, I want to say thank you so much from my side for being with me today. It's been such a blessing. And yeah, I just pray that you'll have an amazing week. And I look forward to seeing you on the cricket field or doing something cool soon. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I do hope to see you in South Africa. Our countries must mix a little bit more. And yes, thank you very much for a lovely morning.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, CastBox, and Spotify. Subscribe now, like to stay updated on new episodes.